Welcome to our latest edition of the AgriFutures Australia Chicken Meat Program podcast. This morning I am with Dr. Peter Taylor from the University of Melbourne to talk about her project on optimising ranging behaviour in meat chickens. Welcome, Peter. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Rochelle. It's so lovely to be here.
Thank you. I guess I wanted to just really start with a background to this project. So it is quite interesting, like getting chickens out into the range, and, you know, it is a very interesting topic. So what initiated this project?
You're absolutely right. Every time I talk to people about being a poultry behaviour and welfare scientist, everyone wants to talk about free range all the time, which is lucky because a lot of our work has looked at ranging behaviour of meat chickens. It's about 20% of chickens produced in Australia come from free-range chicken meat farms. And our previous work has shown that there are associated improvements to chicken welfare with range use, especially those chickens that use the range frequently and range further from the shed. We've seen improvements to cardiovascular function and leg health and physiological stress responses to challenge. But also, we understand that consumers have expectations about free range. They want their chicken that they've bought to have been a ranging chicken, not just have the choice to range, but they actually want to know that they're utilising it. But we know that range use is variable. It's season dependent, of course, but there's many birds that choose not to actually access the range. And then there are other birds comparatively that absolutely love it. They'll use it pretty much as soon as those doors open. They'll go out almost every day and use it for long periods of time. And so from a welfare perspective, we know that choice is really important. We don't want to be pushing birds out if they don't want to be on the range. And we particularly don't want to be doing it if it's not good for welfare and it's really just to make consumers happy. But we can think about environments that birds are in, and we can see what we can modify to perhaps prepare them to access the range or to attract them out to the range. And that's really where this project was going, understanding that there may be a bit of a disconnect between expectations and chickens that are ranging on farm, but also an opportunity to optimise. We don't say maximise, we don't want to push them all out, but optimise ranging behaviour on farms.
Thanks, Peter. As you mentioned, you did look at range use from, you know, how you could potentially get them out there. So you looked at it from a few different angles. So how they were reared, as well as what was out on the range too. So the rearing environment and the ranging environment, and also how those different environments had an impact on the actual bird itself. What specifically did you look at in these areas?
Good question, because of course our aim was to look at the number of birds on the range. So we counted a lot of chickens. In fact, in one of the experiments looking at the range environment, we had 25,000 time points where we counted chickens on the range. And we also wanted to know what they were doing. So we had 15,000 time points where we monitored the behaviour of every bird on the range at that time. So we did a lot of counting. That's what we do as ethologists or people who study chicken behaviour. But as a scientist, I was also really interested in finding the potential mechanism that could explain why our treatments worked. And this is interesting as a scientist, but also I think it's really important because if you identify the mechanism, like is it increasing familiarity with the range? Is it simply light intensity? Regardless, you then give producers the power to create a treatment that targets that mechanism but aligns with their environment and their challenges. So, for example, if providing birds with visual access increases range use and the mechanism is light intensity, they're more active and subsequently use the range more, producers might not want to put in transparent pop holes that they have to clean all the time, or, you know, it could be quite costly to put in. Maybe they could crack a curtain early, or they could put in windows, or they could simply increase the light intensity artificially. So I think looking at these mechanisms were really important. And also we want to know, does our treatment have an impact on welfare, positive or negative? It's something we need to be aware of. So to this effect, we measured activity. We put accelerometers on birds, first time that that's been done in free range environment. We took measures of fear and anxiety, so behavioural and physiological stress responses. We also looked at cognition and brain development, and we looked at leg health and cardiovascular function. And in terms of those outcomes, as you mentioned, we looked at meat quality and FCR and growth to see if there were any economic benefits to optimising range use.
Okay, Peter, that leads me to my next question. Is what did you find? Like, was there actually any difference between the chickens that were provided no type of treatment compared to those that were?
Yeah, there were. And look, we had multiple experiments over this. A few we did on commercial farms with incredible producers who let into their farms and subsequently their homes. But one we'll sort of focus on was the rearing environment. And we did this in a controlled setting at the University of New England. And we also replicated that on farm. And what we tried to do was increase the complexity of that rearing environment. And two ways we did that. One, we gave them visual access to the outdoor range. And the other one, we created this complex environment, and we did it based on the scientific literature, but also in consultation with free-range producers to say, well, what was actually going to be practical? So we had things like an artificial hay bale, because you know there is some concern about biosecurity. So we thought, how do we get the structure but the same characteristics for the birds? So we made an artificial hay bale. We had streamers on fans, because we know that fans turn on and off regularly in sheds, and that's just that little bit of complexity, something new, a new sound, you know, visual interesting things in their environment. And we thought, well, this is going to give them a complex environment and increase range use. And the last thing we did in that treatment was we put in vertical panels. And this isn't new for meat chickens. Inra Estevez has done some amazing research to show that the spatial distribution of meat chickens is affected by vertical panels. So we put that in thinking that was going to increase range use, but actually it reduced range use. So compared to our control, it was almost like we'd created this beautiful environment for the chickens. They didn't want to leave. So they did use the range, of course. They went out, but not as much as our control. Conversely, the birds that were given visual access from day one via transparent pop holes actually increased range use. And we validated that on commercial farms. So they accessed the range pretty much on the first day compared to day 3 to 5 for the other treatment groups. They used it more frequently and they spent more time out there. And when we looked at some of these other mechanisms or measures that we took, we actually found that cognition was improved in birds that were given visual access. So we give them a little learning task where they have to go down a Y maze and they learn that their treat is either on the right-hand side with the yellow or the left-hand side with the blue. And then once they learn that, we reverse it and they have to relearn the task. And I guess we had some cognitively challenged chickens that just kept going down the same arm expecting a different result. But the birds that were given visual access relearned that task much more quickly than our control and environmental complexity birds. And we're still processing the neurophysiology of those birds to see if, again, brain and behaviour matches. But we definitely saw some changes in cognition. We also saw that the birds who were given visual access, they were more active in the first week of life. But we didn't see any differences in leg health or stress physiology. In terms of meat quality, it's complex. So there were relationships between sex and treatment and range use. So I think maybe part of why it was so complex is our ranges were quite small at the University of New England. It's a great facility, but maybe they weren't going as far as they would go on commercial farms. But I think that was quite exciting because this is the first time that anyone's looked at meat quality in free-range systems related to how much a bird uses the range. And so we know that range use is heterogeneous in flocks. So if you're sampling birds that have never actually used the range, you're not getting an accurate measure of what ranging does for meat quality. So I think it was quite exciting that we saw some relationships there. Of course, I need to mention that our visual access treatment group reduced body weight. And maybe that's about the activity we saw. We're not sure. We have to look into that deeper. But what we can say is that providing visual access 100% optimizes range use. It increases activity, has consequences for cognition, but it's going to take longer to get those birds to slaughter weight. And that's an important take-home message. If that is important for consumers, that their bird goes out on the range, then there are going to be consequences for growth and ultimately economics. So they need to be willing to pay to match that expectation.
There's some really interesting results that you got there, Peter, and I love that take-home message. You know, you can't have one thing without something else happening as well. So where there might be a positive, there could also be something that's maybe not so positive as well. So, no, very interesting. Thank you. Are there any other take-home messages that you got from this work?
Yes, I think so. My take-home message is that we don't have a take-home message. Like, I'm not with this research. It was a four-year project. It was huge. But we're not saying that to be a free-range farm, you should be giving visual access to the birds. And the reason, you know, again, I'm going to sound like this scientist that says we need to do more research, but we do. We have these answers now, but what we need to understand is, well, what component of that visual access is important? So is it actually that they can see outside and they are familiar with the range, or is it simply light intensity, and or is it something else? And so there are going to be consequences of however we provide that to birds, and the consequences for welfare are really unknown at this point. So let's say it is about giving them access to natural light, a higher light intensity. You may put windows in the shed, but windows in the shed in South Australia in the middle of summer when it's 40-something degrees, when they're a high stocking density, the birds are just about to be picked up, for me, that flags that there's a potential welfare issue there. So I think it's going to be a frustrating take-home message is that, yes, we have some answers about how to optimise range use, but what that means for welfare and productivity and to make actual recommendations for what should be occurring on farm, we just don't have that information yet.
Thank you, Peter. I think that's a really important take-home message, actually, in that it is a very, very complex area and that there is nothing solid that you can take from it. There's a lot of different factors at play. Thank you very much for your time. And
thanks, Peter.
No problems. Thanks for having me. I'm always, always up for talking about chicken behaviour and welfare. So if anyone wants to do so, you can contact me. But hopefully we'll be talking about the next installation of this project in a few years.
I think the other important thing too is that your research has been documented too. So there are some great reports that you've put together that are available for people to read and to locate too. So thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Rochelle.